Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's check out the agricultural futures markets on the phone line with us to take a look at those for this third day of April 2013. Jackie Vakes, she's at Stuart Peterson in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the marketplace. USDA last Thursday released a rather interesting set of reports, and it's always an interesting set of reports at the end of March. We get the grain stocks report. We get an update on what the prospective plantings for corn and soybeans might be like. The wheat numbers are all updated, but this time around, the grain stocks really changed pretty dramatically. And I suppose basis was the place that many expected would do the heavy lifting, or the cash price. What has happened since then?
Well, you certainly hit it on the head when you said that that this grain stocks was out of the ordinary. I mean, it had the largest deviations ever on record when you compare it to what the trade guesses were. And I think that's why you saw the reaction to it. When you look at basis, you know, the basis reaction has been interesting, and you're right. Basis is doing the heavy lifting. Basis was excellent before we took this dive, and it's gotten even better. And so when you look at the cash market is still trying to, trying to entice sales, and farmer selling pretty much dried up when we fell down here. So now we're going to start to see basis really work hard if we don't see the futures go higher. I mean, the futures are still saying, we want your grain now, we're not going to pay you to hold it. So whether the grain stock showed 400 million more than the guess or not doesn't make a difference. Your end users can't buy. They go out and look to try and see if they can't get some kind of an improvement, and they just can't get it. So if the grain is all in North Dakota and Minnesota like they're saying, it's obviously not getting to where it's needed to be. And whether it can do that at a decent price is another question. You know, I was really shocked by the report, Todd, primarily because I would have expected to see wheat stocks much lower, if we were going to see corn stocks as high as we did, and we didn't see that at all. And so I think everyone, including commercials and everybody else that I've talked to, are just shaking their head and going, wow, what goes on here? But when you look deeper into the report, you see that the average deviation for corn on the grain stocks report is 4.8%. Well, if you took that and just from a mathematical standpoint looked at 84,000 farms surveyed, 888 companies surveyed, that comes up to about 262,344,000 bushels. And, you know, we were off by 400 million. Now you add to that the USDA did not ask how much anybody imported for corn. And so it's my opinion that feed use isn't anywhere near as bad as what the implications are that came out of this particular report.
So that may be the case, but it wouldn't have, let me think about this along the ways, and you can help me. If you're right that we have imported corn coming into the United States, and we do, and that's being fed, the only number it really impacts is the feed and residual number, but it doesn't make a difference to what the ending stocks or what the WASDE figures might show us on April the 10th. At least
no.
if it's all just set up that way. Now, WASDE or the World Agricultural Outlook Board could have a completely different opinion than what was reported by USDA NAS.
Well, you know, the thing that's kind of interesting about that, part of the reason that there's been such a negative reaction to the report is because there's a lot of assumptions that the carryout's going to go up to 960 million bushels. The only way that's going to happen, basically, is to, again, you know, drop export sales, which they might possibly do, maybe drop feed usage, because this report would imply that we've really cut back on how much we're feeding, and then turn around and increase the imports. And the danger is that this could be ending up being counted in two different places. In other words, you know, they're counting it as an import coming into the country, and it's now been counted in the ending stocks because it's actually been fed. You know, that whatever it was, whether it was old corn or whether it was imported corn that was fed, whatever they imported obviously had been fed at some point in time here. And because we haven't seen a drop in the livestock herd significantly enough to end up with this type of a drop in usage. And so it'll be, I'm afraid that we could end up with another 2010. Remember, like report when we saw September limit down and we saw October limit up.
Right.
Because they made those changes. Right. That would be, that'd just be scary is what that would be, you know. And you know, the thing is, you have no control. They have no control over how, what numbers are reported to them. I actually sat down and looked at it based on farmers and companies. It's only, it, if a farm on average was off by 1,500 bushels, which could be the possibility, and a big company off by 15,000 bushels, which is not very much, you could see this type of thing. So, you know, they put these deviations on these reports so that they can make changes. So we could see this whole thing change again in June. But I think the bigger implication is, what's it going to do to the, you know, to the usage number? And that's what everybody's going to be worried about next week.
So at this point, we have a swing in the nearby corn contract from a high last week at 736 and a quarter on Thursday, that is, to the mm-hmm. trade today at what, we went all the way to 635.
641 and a half.
Yeah, so somewhere around a dollar swing in old crop, not nearly so much in new crop corn. And I suppose if we have a swing again, it will be in the old crop, not so much in the new crop. But still, 30 cents or 40 cents in the new crop is quite a bit of money.
Well, it is, and I think that, you know, the new crop has kind of stood still at the moment, and it's kind of treading water, just from the standpoint that I believe that the trade is becoming much more concerned about weather. When you look at, I just listened to the weather forecast that you had, you know, rain, fairly cold. We got, I think, 160-degree in there, and I've been talking to guys about what ground temperatures have been, and we're talking in the high 30s, low 40s. We need to be in the 50s to start to plant, and we're nowhere near normal planting. I mean, that we're not behind on planting, but I think the trade is beginning to get concerned. And you can see that reaction in the wheat market, too, because, you know, we not only saw 30% food are very poor yesterday in the crop progress report, but we're seeing cold, damp weather out there. And that's really not a good thing. You know, they start planting out there before we do on corn, and the wheat crop, of course, is always gives you kind of a heads up on what's happening out there. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. The weather is messing up planting in Argentina. It's messing with the harvest down in Brazil, as if they don't have enough problems. You know, last week, Thursday, ADM had a barge collision that actually closed down the entire waterway. Now, it's supposed to open up today, but they're so far behind already. They said that they estimated it was holding back about 100,000 tons of cargoes in the ports, and then not letting anybody else be able to get into the port. And so, you know, it's been very quiet. They've kept that very, very quiet since that happened. But that's what makes it hard for me to see the old crop beans doing what they're doing, with the idea that so much is coming out of South America when you have this type of an interruption. But the weather seems to be playing havoc with everybody, so maybe we'll be in the opposite camp of what we were last year. I don't know.
Given the few days we have left until the USDA report is released by the World Agricultural Outlook Board, or the WASD numbers, in the month of April, what do you suspect producers should be doing in terms of marketing or just protection of the crop that they'll be putting in the ground?
Well, you're talking new crop now.
I am.
Okay. Old crop, I'll tell you. Be looking at that basis, because there's plenty of places. I'm talking to a guy in Kansas today. He can still get $7.50 for his grain. And why wouldn't you take that if you have that opportunity? On new crop corn, I think that there's enough question about it. I still am a big believer in the option strategies. If you look like you think you're going to have an okay crop, if you're in an area that's gotten decent rain over there, then I still think you might want to sell maybe a 10% sale. But I wouldn't go crazy, because there's just too many questions that need to be answered. And the reaction to this report was so kind of off the wall, I think, driven very much by black box trading and hedge fund trading, you know, and that type of thing, that it'll be interesting to see if we have opportunity to go back up and fill some of the gaps that remain from before the report. But I do believe that you have to be managing risk. And I said to Dave this morning, this report is just highlights how important it is to have a plan for if the market goes higher or if it goes lower, because there's an awful lot of people, I'm sure, that have felt very sick to their stomach when they looked at what's happened in the last 2 days.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us, Jackie.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
Hey, you too. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson right there in Champaign County. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon.